Good morning and welcome to Trinity United Methodist Church on this first Sunday of May 2016. As we open up this time of praise and worship, if you would, bow your heads and your hearts and may we open up with a word of prayer today. Gracious God, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your love. We especially thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to come before you to worship individually and collectively, to worship as one body. And Jesus, we just invite you into this presence. We ask that your Holy Spirit would quicken our minds and open our hearts and impact our souls, that we would just learn, we would grow, we would mature in our faith and in our journey with you. And so, Holy Spirit, may you do a mighty thing here today. We just commit this service into your care. May you be blessed, may you be honored, and we praise you and thank you. We lift this to you in the mighty name of the risen Christ, our loving Savior and our coming King, we do pray. Amen.
So good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. As we stand and get ready to praise our Lord, let's turn to our neighbor and say, you have a bright future.
Some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away to my home on God's celestial shores. I'll fly away. Oh, I'll fly away, your glory, and I'll fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah, by and by. I'll fly away. When the shadows of this life have gone, I'll fly away. Like a bird from prison bars have shown, I'll fly away. Oh, I'll fly away, your glory, and I'll fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah, by and by. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to Leland where joy shall never end. I'll fly away. Oh, I'll fly away, your glory, and I'll fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah, by and by. By and by, I'll fly away. Let's sing it one more time for the Lord. Oh, I'll fly away, your glory, and I'll fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away.
We just don't belong here on this earth. We need to fly away one day. What a glorious day that will be.
Sometimes it feels like I'm watching from the outside. Sometimes it feels like I'm breathing, but am I alive? I will keep searching for answers that are here to find. All I know is I'm not home yet. This is not where I belong. Take this world and give me Jesus. This is not where I belong. So the walls come falling down on me. agency. I have this blessed assurance, honed and made. All I know is I'm not home yet. This is not where I belong. Take this world and give me Jesus. This is not where I belong. When the earth shakes, I want to be found in you. When the lights fade, I want to be found in you. All I know is I'm not home yet. This is not where I belong. Take this world and give me Jesus. This is not where I belong. All I know is I'm not home yet. This is not where I belong. Take this world and give me Jesus. This is not where I belong. This is not where I belong. This is not where I belong.
As we bow our heads, Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the future you've given us, the bright future. We have no more fear. We don't have to fear death, Lord. We just fear the everlasting life that you've promised to us. All we have to do is follow you, give our life to you. Lord, we can only imagine what day, when that day comes, what that day will be like, Lord. What a wonderful, glorious Savior you are, and how we get to walk with you and talk with you. And Lord, when we get to meet you, what will we say? Lord, we thank you for our bright future. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. I can only imagine what it would be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in awe will you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? And I'll be able to speak it all. I can only imagine. Hey, yeah, hey, I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I would do is forever, Lord, forever worship you. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. We're surrounded by your glory. What will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? For in awe will you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? And I'll be able to speak it all. I can only imagine. Hey, yeah, hey, I can only imagine. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever, Lord, forever worship you. I can only imagine.
I can only imagine. We're surrounded by your glory. What will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Where and all will you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Not be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Hey, yeah, I can only imagine. I can only imagine when all I would do is forever, Lord, forever worship you. I can only imagine. As we bow our heads, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the glorious future you've given us. No more fear. We don't have to fear. We don't have to fear anything in this life, especially not death, because we have such a bright future, Lord. We thank you for that, Lord. And we continue to ask that you work in our lives to give us the ability to not fear, but give us ability to have that faith and totally trust. Lord, we ask a special blessing over this church and those that are here and those that couldn't be here. Lord, bring us all together for your glorious, glorious service, Father, next week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Seated. Before we continue this time of praise and worship here this morning, we just want to highlight a couple brief announcements. Greg is sending around a couple clipboards, and this is for anyone who is signed up to help with Vacation Bible School this year. Please fill that out. Rachel Meinke would like to have that information, and so we will be ordering t-shirts for all of the helpers. And if you haven't said that you would like to help for Vacation Bible School, now is your opportunity to fill that out and just make sure that we have all of the pertinent information that we need. This is a wonderful outreach here in Gibsonburg for Trinity United Methodist Church to get the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of truth and the gospel of grace into the hearts, minds, and souls of these young lives. And friends, I don't know if you know, but there are statistics that state the majority of people that come to faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior do so before the age of 18. Hear that. Let that sink in. The majority of people, I know myself, I placed my faith in Jesus as my Lord and Savior when I was like 6. The majority of people that come to faith as Jesus in their life as their Lord and Savior do so before the age of 18. And so when we think about Vacation Bible School, this has eternal implications. This has implications for our society and implications for our world. Because the gospel of Jesus Christ will never leave an individual the same. We are new creations. We are transformed into the likeness of Jesus. And so as that passes around, if you would like to be a part of something bigger than yourself, please fill that out and make sure we have the pertinent information. Also, in your bulletin, you will notice that there is a sign-up sheet, and this too is for Vacation Bible School, and you'll probably see a theme that is going on here this morning. And you'll probably hear it for this week and the coming weeks until we get through the week of Vacation Bible School. And so if you have any children that are in these age groups, please fill this out and get this turned in. There is a box that you can put the information once you fill it in and fill it out on the table in the fellowship hall. And so if you have friends, if you have family members, if you have neighbors, if you have anyone that you know that would benefit and that would like to be a part of this wonderful ministry, this wonderful outreach, Vacation Bible School, please fill this out and get this turned in. Also, if you are helping, on the back of your bulletin, just make a couple notes with me here. If you are helping with Vacation Bible School or are interested in helping, please plan on staying for a brief meeting immediately following the worship service today. We are planning on about a 30-minute meeting, and so Rachel is here, and she will go over some pertinent information that we all need to know to begin to prepare and to continue to work toward this wonderful outreach of VBS today. And lastly, about VBS, and then we will shift to something else here, is Wednesdays at 6 from now until the week before Vacation Bible School. If you have any ability to, you know, make arts and crafts and be involved in that, come out and be here at 6 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall. Charlene will be heading up the decorations, and so, you know, if you're able, we would love to have you as a part of that. And right in the middle on the back of your bulletin, you'll notice July 29th through the 31st, the Creation Museum Fellowship Trip. We, as a team, have put together a fellowship slash discipleship slash outreach trip. And Julie Seif has more information, and so if you have questions, you can talk with Julie. This will be a two-day trip, and I don't know, maybe you're not aware, but the Creation Museum isn't too far from here. Ken Ham, he heads up the Creation Museum, and it's a wonderful place to go to in our day, in our age, you know, where the schools are teaching evolution, they're teaching every, you know, contrary belief against the biblical view of creationism. Well, they will be completing a life-size ark, and that is 45 minutes away from the Creation Museum. And so we put together this trip that we want to go down and spend one day at the Creation Museum and one day at the life-size ark where you will be able to walk through. And friends, it's a wonderful opportunity, you know, to go to see the biblical proof, to go and see, you know, the life-size ark that Noah built back in the day. And so if you're interested in that, there is a sign-up sheet in the fellowship hall on the table. We need, by the end of June, I believe it says June the 19th, we need to know the type of interest level that we have so that we can get, you know, the rooms reserved, we can get the tickets booked and everything like that, and there will be more details to come. And so, you know, basically, as God leads, may you be a part of our journey as we grow our faith in the coming King and the risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ.
John chapter... Let's restart that. All right. Today's reading is from John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. This is on 1675 in the Pew Bible. It's 1675. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And that was our reading from the Word of God. Children's Church is now dismissed. We have an awesome program for the children. And I'd like to invite the ushers up for offering.
When it's all said and done, I will breathe the breath of worship. When my journey is through, I'll bend my knee and all. When the song fills my soul, joining voice with all creation, I will sing when it's all said and done. I will sing when it's all said and done. When it's all said and done, I will breathe the breath of worship. When my journey is through, I will bend my knee and all. When the song fills my soul, joining voice with all creation, I will sing when it's all said and done. When it's all said and done, and my questions have been answered, when the chords fade away, grief and pain, when the poor of his flesh has no power in my tomorrows, I will sing. When it's all said and done, when it's all said and done, and my final step is taken, when I stand face to face with the one I long to know, where my heart understands with convincing revelation, I will bow when it's all said and done. I will bow when it's all said and done.
Kind, eternal, ever-loving Heavenly Father, we do thank you for all the many blessings that you so graciously grant unto us each and every day. As part of those blessings, Father, we placed on your altar this morning our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings, asking your blessing upon them. Bless them and multiply them into your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So I want to start today's sermon with a little illustration to get us knowing what we're talking about. So here's a story. A young business owner was opening a new branch office, and a friend decided to send a floral arrangement for the grand opening. When the friend arrived at the opening, he was appalled to find that his wreath bore the inscription, "Rest in Peace." Angry, he complained to the florist. After apologizing, the florist said, "Look at it this way. Somewhere, a man was buried under a wreath today that said, 'Good luck in your new location.'" All right, so obviously today we're talking about death and the fear of death in particular. Death conjures up a lot of emotions in people, whether it be anxiety, unsureness, grief, and it all works towards fear. So in order to understand the fear of death, we have to understand how fear works. So we define fear psychologically as a psychological state that manifests itself biologically. In other words, we have these thoughts, these desires, and what happens is that we're able to observe the effects physiologically or objectively. We can look at you and see that you're nervous or that you're fearful. When we are initially in a state of fear, our heart rate increases, our lungs work harder, blood flows to our large muscles as a result of the fight or flight response, and our adrenal gland releases adrenaline, which initiates a boost in our aggressive and athletic performance. So, for example, if a spider was to crawl down from the ceiling or a bunch of locusts were to come up in front of me, I would be fearful. So my heart rate would increase. I would be extremely want to get away, or maybe I want to square up to it and fight it. So if I fight it or if I run away, the fear subsides and all those effects that happen to the body subside. And that's all the initial response to fear. Eventually, after the threat subsides, the body calms down and returns to normal. There's a different type of fear, and it's called perpetual fear. This is fear that isn't one time, but is rather chronic. So you can imagine the body's in constant stress, always going up and down. Our adrenaline's going up and down. You see this, not so much the fear, but the adrenaline reaction in sports. If a boxer or a football player is going up against their opponent, initially they'll get real pumped up. But as the game keeps going on, their adrenaline winds down, and what happens? They become immobilized. Their blood flows through their muscles, and they can't lift their arms. They get real tired. So in order to combat that perpetual fear, we should confront what the Bible says about the topic of death. So going all the way back to the book of Genesis, chapter 3, death is the just result of sin. So Adam and Eve, they were made perfect creation from God. Unfortunately, they were deceived by the ancient serpent Satan. And as a result, sin entered the world. And as sin entered the world, subsequently death, the result of sin, enters the world. And it's important that we differentiate between the first death and the second death. The first death being the death of the body. We're all going to die someday. Some will die sooner than others. It's inevitable, and it is a result of the first sin. We can't escape it. When our bodies die in the first death, our soul moves on into the afterlife. Now, the second death occurs to unbelievers on the day of judgment. This is eternal separation from God. Unbelievers will be cast into hell. It is the just response for our unrepentant sinful nature and the result of our rejection of God. In all circumstances, in all precedences in the Bible, a sin needs to be atoned for. Fortunately, believers are spared the result of the second death by God's amazing mercy. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to be born of a virgin, to live a sinless life, to live a life of a humble servant, to be tortured, to die, and to rise 3 days later. So for believers, there's nothing to fear about death. It's been conquered. Death is when we are perfected in the image of Christ. It will be a reunion with those who have fallen asleep in Christ, a reunion with our loved ones who were Christian and who moved on to heaven. It will be a day that begins the eternal period of us praising our Lord and living in ultimate harmony, an age that begins eternal happiness, no tears, no sorrow, just joy in our wonderful Creator. Now, with perpetual fear, we must not fall into the lies of the adversary, convincing us that Christ's atonement on the cross was not enough. Satan wants to immobilize us. He wants us to live in perpetual fear that we are all unsaved. It's important to note that Satan can't take away our salvation. He can't do anything or say anything that can take away our salvation when we place our trust in Christ Jesus. But Satan doesn't want you to know that. That would defeat his whole purpose. And if you do know that he can't do that, he'll do everything to immobilize you, to stop you from spreading the gospel to other people. Because the gospel is the good news that our sins were atoned for in Jesus Christ's death. And what happens when we become immobilized? What happens when we stop spreading the gospel and we become content in our Christian life? A church of immobilized people is a dead church that will either revert to sinful ways or do deeds in the name of themselves. It's important to note that we cannot earn our way into heaven. No amount of good things. We can rescue cats from trees. We can buy a bunch of orphanages and raise all these adopted children. And that is fantastic, but we cannot earn our way into heaven. Heaven is a free gift from God. And when we deny or doubt the power of Christ's crucifixion and the meaning of Christ's crucifixion, we give footholds to Satan. These are footholds that result in sin creeping into our life. So I want you to imagine this big tower, right? Or house, a building of some sort. And this tower is constructed of all our thoughts, all our beliefs about God. Okay, say maybe you have one or two beliefs that you're not totally solid on. You don't know whether it's true or not. Satan's going to claw at that, or he's going to get his hammer, and he's going to hammer at that. And when he gets his claw in there, what do you think he's going to do again? He's going to get his other claw in there. And slowly but surely, Satan will creep into your thought processes. He will creep into the church. And you do not want Satan driving your thought processes, nor do you want Satan driving the church. You want the Holy Spirit to do that. It's important to note that our flesh loves sin. It craves sin. It's inherent. Every single moment we live on earth, we are fighting a tooth and nail battle against the powers of evil. This is a battle for our thought processes and an input-output relationship. So our thought processes output our actions. Our thoughts drive our actions would be an easier way to say that. And it's super important that we know that the battle is one-sided. It is completely one-sided when we submit our lives to God. If our God is for us, there is nothing to fear. I'll repeat that again. If our God is for us, there is nothing to fear. On the flip side, just as glorious as the day it will be for those who have accepted the truth of the gospel, it will be equally terrifying for those who have rejected the gospel. When Jesus comes back to earth, it will be a time of complete chaos. People will say, and this is Matthew 7 paraphrased, look at all the good we have done. Look at all the works we have done in your name. And Jesus Christ will say, I never knew you. Now, what's he mean by that? He means that we can't just say we're a Christian and not repent. We can't say we're a Christian and not ask for forgiveness. The name Christian implies repentedness and forgiveness. So the unbelievers, the lukewarm Christians, the people that I've just described, who have never developed a relationship, the false teachers who speak heretical doctrines, they will all face a just eternal judgment that is infinitely severe. God's amazing, loving, and merciful choice is sparing us from eternal judgment, which is the just response for our sin, and instead giving those who believe the gospel and repent from their sins eternal life, has been achieved. There is nothing that we or Satan can do or say that would change this fact. And Satan knows this as well. So we must be grounded in the Word of God, grounded in Scripture. And the Word of God is incredibly clear. To those who believe the gospel, to those who have accepted the truth that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, was beaten for our transgressions, and rose from the grave 3 days later, to those who have asked Jesus Christ, please, I know that my nature is sinful. I ask for forgiveness, and I ask that you give me the Holy Spirit to lead me, to point me towards you. To those people will inherit the kingdom of heaven. As Jesus said in today's scripture, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. You guys, when we accept the gospel of Jesus Christ, there's a space in heaven waiting for us. And there's nothing that Satan can do and nothing that he can say that can take that away. So there's a few questions we all need to ask ourselves today. Have we accepted the gospel of Jesus Christ? Have we accepted the gift of eternal life that we in no way earned, but because of God's everlasting love for us, he has given us? If we haven't, the fear of death is very real. Christ is coming back to conquer and make your peace terms today. If we have, the fear of death is obsolete. Christ's love for us, his death and resurrection atones all. He died for all of our sins, past, present, and future. So praise God for his unconditional love. We did nothing to deserve this indescribable gift of eternal salvation. This is from God's grace through our faith alone. Praise God for his mercy, sparing believers from his just judgment, condemning our sin. Praise God for all he has done, all he is doing, and all that he will do. It is complete. Sin and death have been conquered by our Savior. It's time we rejoice in the truth.
Thank you, Greg. To reiterate Greg's question, have we received the gospel of Jesus Christ? Have we received, you know, the truth of Jesus as being our Lord and Savior? And we're going to meet around the Lord's table here in a few moments. And if you have, then this should be a time of rejoicing, as Greg had just mentioned. If you haven't, then basically, you know, it may be a time of reflection, a time of introspection, and maybe this is the day of salvation. Dr. Donald Barnhouse, after the passing of his first wife, he was driving down the road, and his kids were in tow in the car with him, and basically a moving truck passed the car. And a huge shadow was cast over their car as they drove down the road. And he was talking with his kids as they drove and proceeded down the road, and he basically was trying to help them process through it. And he said, you know, if you had a choice, to be hit by the moving truck or to be hit by their shadow, which would you choose? And all the kids in the back seat, they all said, I would choose to be hit by the shadow because the shadow is not going to affect us. The truck is the only thing that can hurt us. And then he began and proceeded to share with his children. He said, 2,000 years ago, Jesus was hit by the truck of death so that we would only be hit by its shadow. Now, I want you to listen to Psalm 23, verse 4. Listen to this. And this is a well-known psalm that we say at many funeral services, and many individuals here in this room have memorized this. But I want you to hear these words. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And friends, we have nothing to fear. Jesus was hit by the moving truck 2,000 years ago so that we will only be covered by the shadow. And friends, that shadow does not affect us. And death, in our view and our perspective of death, we need to understand it's a journey. It has been said that what will it be like to die? When I was young, I was very sick. I had asthma and I couldn't breathe. And there were days that I would find myself outside playing, and then I would come and I would crash and I would fall asleep in all kinds of bizarre places, friends. And little did I know that many times my mom or my dad, they would come to me and they would pick me up and they would take me to my bed if it was near bedtime. And sometimes they would even dress me in my bedclothes. Friends, that's what death is going to be like. You can look it up for yourself in Luke 16, where Lazarus and the rich man, where the angels are sent to Lazarus and they are taking him to the bosom of Abraham, and that's in heaven, friends. And so just like my mom and my dad, they would sometimes pick me up and they would carry me to where I needed to be and they would reclothe me. And that's exactly what death will be like. We will fall asleep and we will open up our eyes and we will be in the presence of God. And friends, it gets better because we will be clothed with a new body. This old body will pass away and we will have no sorrow. We will have no pain. We will have no grief. We will have no tears because we will be in the presence of the Almighty. And just as Lazarus was sent to get by the angels, God sent Lazarus, the angels, to get him, to bring him home. So too, for you and me, death is a process, it's a journey, and it's not about us saying, you know what, I am dying, and that's finite, and that's complete, because Jesus has defeated the sting of death. He has eliminated sin from our lives, and because of that, friends, he will send for us too. He will send for the angels to take us home to be with him. And so if you're here this morning, as Greg has said, I would just exhort all of us today to search our hearts, to make sure, because I'm going to tell you personally that before I accepted Jesus Christ, I had these nightmares, and they were recurring nightmares, and they would always be about me being chased down and me dying. You know what happened? Once I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior, the nightmares stopped. And that should be reflective of a believer's life and what happens inside of us because we have no fear of dying. It's a process. We close our eyes and the angels are sent by God in heaven to receive us and to take us to be home with him in glory. And that is death, friends. It's not a separation. It's being reunited with our brothers and sisters in Christ. It's being reunited with our Savior who defeated death. And as we celebrate communion, just remember, he was hit by the truck 2,000 years ago. So the shadow of death, it may fall on us, but it will have no effect on your soul. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for this good word today. Father, we thank you that you knew that we needed to be reunited with you, O Christ. And Heavenly Jesus, we bless you that you were hit by the truck of death 2,000 years ago, and it was not victorious over you, for you reigned victoriously over death and sin. And we praise you for that. We just pause and we just stand in awe of you, O Christ, that you would take that upon yourself. and that you would defeat death, something that reigns supreme over all lives of humans until you entered the world. And Jesus, we bless you now. We pray, Lord, that as we meet around your holy communion table, that you would search our hearts, you would find us, you would know us, and that we would make sure that we are in a right relationship with you, asking for forgiveness of our mistakes, of our flaws, of our shortcomings, and receiving the forgiveness and to thank you for that. And as we stand in a relationship with you, Jesus, may this time around your holy communion table, may it be a time of rejoicing. May it be a time of peace. May it be a time of comfort. May it be a time where we understand that because you were hit by the truck of death, the shadow may fall on us, but it will have no effect. We will simply close our eyes and open them, being in your presence, being clothed with a new body, being reunited with our Creator God. And we bless you, O Jesus. Because you live, we too can live, and we too will live. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, and we pray that you would bless the bread, that you would bless the cup, that you would just anoint these elements, the sacrament of communion. And as we partake and meet around your table, we thank you, O Christ, for the blessed opportunity to say thank you for being hit by the truck of death. And we praise you and we honor you and we rejoice. Because you live, we too will live. And we bless you now. In the holy name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen. On the night when Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, broken for you. Take, eat, do this in remembrance of me." And then likewise, Jesus then took the cup and he said, "This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for the remission of sins. Take, drink, do this in remembrance of me." If you're visiting with us here this morning, we have an open communion table. We invite everyone to partake. And you will come down the center aisle. You will be given a piece of bread, and you will dip that piece of bread in the juice, and then you will partake both together. And we just simply ask that as the Holy Spirit leads you to meet around his table, that you would come, you would receive, you would make peace, if you have not already, with Jesus, the risen Savior, and then you would depart back to your seats on either side. So as the Spirit of God, as he draws you, may you come and may you receive, may you partake of the elements of Holy Communion. As we prepare to conclude our time of praise and worship here this morning, I hope and I pray that as we conclude this time of the series titled Fearless, meaning you should not have any fears, and sometimes fears will come to us, but remember one thing, that faith is the opposite of fear. Remember that, please. If you get nothing else from this entire series, faith is the opposite of fear, and faith will keep our fears in check. It is our custom here at Trinity to take up a benevolent offering, and so if the ushers would please come, and we do have just a word of thanks, if you'll notice on the back of your bulletin. Last week was our week to serve the meal at Tables of Plenty over at St. Michael's Church. And there's just a thank you to everyone who donated food or helped with Tables of Plenty last week. And we just want to say, what a blessing you are. Jesus said, if you just serve others, the poor, the marginalized, the weak, the outcast of society, that we are walking in his footsteps. And so thank you, thank you. These funds go to help those who are in need within just the body of Jesus right here or within our community. And so as Jesus gave sacrificially, may we give sacrificially as well.
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace. forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. And when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be.
And one day we will get to meet our Lord, and we will be able to thank him for what he did for us. For when he rose on that third day, the stone was rolled away. What an awesome God we serve, and what he did for us. So there's no more fear, because one day we will rise.
There's a peace I've come to know, though my heart and flesh may fail. There's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory.
From the dead, and I will rise.
close this morning, just a brief reminder. If you are planning on being a part of Vacation Bible School, please plan on staying immediately after in the fellowship hall for the brief meeting that we will have today. And friends, I truly hope that when we talk about this sensitive topic of death, that you truly understand, and that in your soul, there is an anchor for your soul, and that anchor is Jesus Christ. And I truly believe that He will be that anchor if you will only allow Him. If you'll truly allow Him to allow you to rise this day. Because friends, that's what He did. And so you and I, too, will rise. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, may the peace, the Prince of Peace, the peace that surpasses all understanding that Jesus ushered into this world, that this world will never know, may it truly flood your very being. And may you go and be blessed. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.